The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, here's the reality. If the Democrats in the U.S. Senate have their way, pretty soon, not very long from now, they will be fundamentally reshaping the nation and changing the course of the nation really into perpetuity, unless the United States Supreme Court were to act. And I don't know. I don't really have much confidence in the U.S. Supreme Court anymore at all. And so what do you do about that? Do you call your senators, call your U.S. senator? Well, if your senator happens to be a Democrat, you can call him, you can email him, you can write him, you can try to go get an appointment. It's not going to matter. If your senator is a Republican, you can write him, you can call him, you can email him, you can try to go see him, but they have no power, literally, in the United States Senate. So that's not going to get anything done. So what do you do when we're talking about H.R. 1, which is the For the People Act, which is a federalizing of the federal election, a portion of your ballots when you vote every 2 years. So that's president and Congress, U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. They want to federalize all that. And I'll take you through that, what that looks like, H.R. 1. And then H.R. 5, the Equality Act. I love these names of these things. The Equality Act, which they give them new numbers when they send them over to the Senate. But H.R. 5, the Equality Act, is anything but. That's basically a hammer blow, an all-out assault on religious liberty and other things. There's a lot of things that are going to get hammered by H.R. 5 and a lot of things at the federal level in terms of the federal government controlling federal elections, that is president, U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, which is patently unconstitutional. The Constitution makes it perfectly clear that election law is to be handled by state legislatures, which is why when the governor in Georgia just recently signed some of their changes to election law, the left is going ballistic, saying they're trying to disenfranchise voters and intimidate voters and intimidate black people and intimidate poor people and cut them out of the process, blah, 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 which is a bunch of garbage. They're trying to shore up the election process, because if we can't trust our elections, you no longer live in a representative republic. Those days are over. You live in an oligarchy. I think for the most part, we live in an oligarchy anyway. Oligarchy being a government controlled by a very small elite group of people. I think we're there already. We still call ourselves a representative republic, but I don't really see that in play, especially in the United States Senate. So when you really don't have any options, any weapons at your disposal, let's remember that as Christians, if you're a Christian through the blood of Jesus Christ, then our weapons primarily are not fleshly. They're not of this world. They're spiritual. For tearing down strongholds, right? They're spiritual. And number one is to pray. Because like Joe just said on Facebook Live, the only thing that we can do is pray. Pray. Because only God can change this stuff. Only God. And so let's pray together. I'm going to set that tone today. I'll work us through. I've got a five-minute clip from Michael Ferris, who's the head of the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, the greatest conglomeration of Christian lawyers in the country, an incredible organization. And he was on the World Prayer Call, World Prayer Network, the other night. And so this is a five-minute clip. I'm going to play it for you in the second segment of the show today, because he'll walk you through some of these details. I've got other things, written things here that I'm going to walk you through. But because I don't have my intern with me this week, it's just me in the studio by myself. It's GarageBand time. So I'm going to play that Michael Ferris clip, all 5 minutes of it, into the microphone from my iPhone 11, which probably will sound okay, but it's not exactly what I would normally do. But I have to do it because people just aren't talking about this. Most people aren't even aware of it. You know, oh, yeah, the Equality Act. Oh, the Voting Act. Yeah. Oh, but the filibuster. We're safe with the filibuster. Joe Manchin and even Kristen Sinema from Arizona might be bulwarks against it. They're both Democrats. But then again, just recently, here's a headline from The Hill. Then we'll pray together before we hit the break. Biden nominates Manchin's wife to co-chair the Appalachian Regional Commission. Interesting timing there, huh? And so I don't know if there's any hanky-panky going on there. Gail Manchin, his wife, will co-chair the Appalachian Regional Commission. Now, she was the first lady in West Virginia when he was the governor. And so she's got plenty of experience, they do, in dealing with Appalachia and the poorest parts of America there throughout the mountains. And so there's part of me that goes, okay, this makes sense. But the fact that Joe Manchin is like the finger in the dike person in the U.S. Senate as far as Democrats go, because he said flat out before, I would not agree to get rid of the filibuster. And the filibuster, again, just as a way of reminder, is you have to be able to, if you want to block legislation in the Senate, because the Senate is supposed to be like the saucer with the teacup. The teacup is kind of radical and spills stuff. That's the House of Representatives, much more rambunctious. We reelect House members every 2 years, the Senate every 6 years. So it's kind of calm, cool, and collected, right? They're the saucer that collects all the garbage falling out of the cup. And so the Senate's there to stabilize, which is why they've had the filibuster, which is essentially unlimited debate on a bill. If you want to kill a bill, you just keep debating. But you can, you have to have 60 votes to overcome that, which is a way to give the minority some ability to not be completely trounced by the majority, whether it's Democrats over Republicans or Republicans over Democrats. And so the Republicans didn't nuke the filibuster before. But if the Democrats do, if they nuke the filibuster and they can get rid of it with a simple majority vote, they can change the rules, simple majority vote. So if they get Joe Manchin, and if they get Kristen Sinema with all kinds of pressure, because those are Joe especially, you could say in one way, is the most powerful Democrat in the Senate, then then it's a tie, 50-50, because none of the Republicans will vote to get rid of it. And then in steps Kamala Harris, the vice president slash president of the United States, and cast the deciding vote, 51-50. They do away with the filibuster. Now they only need a simple majority, which they would have with Kamala Harris voting, and they pass H.R. 1 and H.R. 5. And then that's pretty much the end of the future of America as we know it, which I'll explain to you and you'll understand more about that as we get into it. But let's pray right quick before we hit the commercial break, because this nothing else, you can't do anything else about this right now, but pray. So pray we will. Father God, we come to you with our hat in our hands, completely powerless, except you, except God. And we know that these two things, these proposed bills, Lord, pass the House. They're sitting in the Senate. And if they were to pass and get the president's signature, they would fundamentally alter the future of this country in a terrible way, a terrible way. And would be an all-out assault on religious liberty, would as aid and abet in abortion, and would give a government the takeover of federal elections. Lord, there's so much about this that's unjust. So we pray against it. We pray that the filibuster will hold. And you're our only option. So we pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So we finish with a prayer. We'll pray a couple more times throughout the show, because at this point, when it comes to H.R. 1 and H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act and the so-called For the People Act. For the People Act is H.R. 1, the Equality Act, H.R. 5. That's what they were called coming out of the House, where they already passed. And you can call, you can write, you can visit. There's nothing you can do. You cannot alter the layout of the U.S. Senate right now. The only thing in the way of them passing both these things, which will fundamentally alter this country forever, unless the Supreme Court steps in on the For the People Act, the Voting Act, because it's patently unconstitutional, you just don't have any power. You got nothing. Prayer. That's the only thing. It's the only thing you have. It's kind of like being in Nazi Germany when you know you can't do anything about the Third Reich or Hitler or the SS or anything else. So what do? You pray. And then what do we struggle with? I don't see anything changing. Oh, yeah, I prayed about that. Really? Really? How often? Oh, yeah, a few times. How much time did you spend in prayer over that? I don't know, Steve. Geez, get out of my business. Listen, I'm not judging you. I can't judge you. You can't judge me. But this is something we need to discuss. So are we praying? I'm telling you, if these pass, and I think they're going to dump the filibuster in the Senate, because they know they've got a 2-year window that's closing, when they might, we act like this is a foregone conclusion, that the 2022 election at the end of next year will sweep Republicans back into control of the Senate and the House, and that'll stymie the Biden administration. Don't make assumptions, right? you know what assumptions mean, right? When you make an assumption, when you assume, you know that old saying. So don't do that. Don't assume anything. But in prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will be yours in Christ Jesus. And we pray for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Or pray 1 Timothy chapter 2. We pray for those in authority over us. Why? So we can live quiet and peaceable lives. Just leave us alone. Well, with HR 5 and HR 1, quiet and peaceable? No. That's toast. See ya. So you pray for God to block these things, however that would happen, so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives, which means we can provide for our families, we can share the gospel, we can disciple, we can worship, we can do the things that we're called to do. But if these things pass, that stuff starts to go away. Now, in God's sovereignty, what's best for the kingdom? That's just like Jesus in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. And to Sarah's question, can we bombard Manchin? Sure, you can bombard Manchin's office, but if you're not from West Virginia, why would he listen to you? And what's he going to care about conservatives anyway? Who knows what goes on in the mind of Joe Manchin? But I think that would be a waste of time. But if you feel led to do that yourself, do it. Look it up. Boom. Google Joe Manchin, Senator, West Virginia. Whammo. You'll get right to his office. Okay. All right. I got to garage band this. This is Michael Ferris in the World Prayer Call just the other night explaining what's going on with these two things, HR 5 and HR 1. But because I'm without an intern this week, he's on vacation. God bless him. And so I'm garage banding this literally using my iPhone 11. Into my microphone so that you can hear this. So listen up, Michael Ferris, who now is the head dog at Alliance Defending Freedom, a brilliant guy, a constitutional attorney, and this is him explaining what's going on. Okay, you need to understand this. This will help you pray.
Well, I'm going to take the two different measures in kind of reverse numerical order. HR 5 is also known as the Equality Act. And most people these days, if you're paying attention at all, have heard of the Equality Act. This act is basically the LGBT and pro-abortion dream scenario. They've put together a massive package of provisions that would advance their cause in an unbelievable way. It seems like when Republicans take charge, we are trying to be timid and advance the ball generally very slowly, with President Trump being a pretty notable exception to that. But the Democrats have no embarrassment about advancing the most radical form of their agenda. The Equality Act would affect seven particular areas. The first that's gotten a lot of attention these days is Title IX. That is whether or not girls can continue to compete only against girls in sports. Everybody's been focused on the South Dakota situation on that. Arkansas this last week passed a law. I was there in the chambers on Monday when they passed it, met with the governor, and a few days later, the governor signed it into law. So Idaho, Mississippi, and Arkansas now have passed strong protections for the girls in their states. But Title IX, which was giving equality for girls in sports, was supposed to properly interpreted, has already done that and done that at the national level for a long time. We're in litigation right now. If you hear of any cases on Title IX, those are ADF cases. We're the ones that are fighting for keeping girls, sports for girls. The second area is in general area of women's rights. An example, we represented a women's shelter for homeless and abused women, most of whom have suffered sexual assault in Alaska, and the local officials in the city of Anchorage tried to force this Christian women's center to let a transgender man come in and sleep 2-3 feet away in the next cot from all these vulnerable women. Ultimately, we won that case.
Now, remember, this is all HR 5 then gives the Democrats and the federal government the ability to crush all this stuff.
Shelters and other situations like it. Into compliance. It would have a devastating effect on sanctity of life. It would repeal the Hyde Amendment. It would repeal religious freedom in many respects. you all probably by this time have heard of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. When Hobby Lobby won its case in the Supreme Court a few years ago, it didn't win on the basis of the First Amendment, even though it should have been able to. But because of a bad decision of the Supreme Court in 1990, Congress passed in 1994 the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I'm the guy who named it. And that sounds really fancy until you realize nobody else had another suggestion at the meeting. So they just went with my suggestion of calling it the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I was the chairman of the group of lawyers who wrote it. And what RFRA does is it sits on top of federal law, much like a constitutional amendment, and says unless Congress specifically overrides the provisions of RFRA, it provides religious freedom protection for everything the federal government does. Well, the Equality Act overrides RFRA.
Yep.
So everything touching abortion, everything touching LGBT
rights,
which are the real clash points on religious freedom, would be automatically overruled insofar as statutory law is concerned. No, the Supreme Court could reverse that 1990 decision and give us constitutional protections again. But until that happens, this is a very, very dangerous development. Children in need would also suffer because Christian foster care agencies would be driven out of business unless they bow the knee and will go to protect LGBT families.
I'm going to hit pause right there. Okay, that's Michael Ferris, who's the head of Alliance Defending Freedom, unpacking these seven different areas that are going to be absolutely hammered and destroyed by H.R. 5 and then H.R. 1, which is the quote-unquote For the People Act. It's anything but. And I'll get into more details about that. I know that's a lot of information. I just want you to be sufficiently scared, concerned, and disgusted so that you will sufficiently pray. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
Oh, angels said from above, you know you make my world light up.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about H.R. 1 and H.R. 5, which are now in possession of the United States Senate. All that's standing in the way of passing those things, the For the People Act, which would federalize the federal election side of the ballot, which is the president, the U.S. Senate, and the U.S. House of Representatives, which is patently unconstitutional, by the way. The Constitution expressly leaves election law in the hands of the states, closer to the people, not in the federal government's hands, for obvious reasons. You don't put the fox in charge of the hen house. And so that's the H.R. 1, which is the For the People Act. What people would that be, Nancy? I think you know. And then there's H.R. 5, also humorously named the Equality Act, which is anything but. So Michael Ferris is the head of Alliance Defending Freedom, and he's on the World Prayer Network call the other night and explaining these things. So I'm going to let this clip continue that I'm playing, and then I'll unpack some details for you, and we'll also talk about the For the People Act. And I want to make sure you're sufficiently aware so that you can be prodded, hopefully, to pray over these things, because it's literally all we have. All we have at our disposal to deal with these things is prayer. Pray for Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema. Pray that the filibuster stands and pray that these things don't pass. But if they do pass, it's fundamentally going to change America for good, unless the Supreme Court, and the only thing the Supreme Court would touch would be the For the People Act, the Voting Act. But are you really going to throw down with your assumptions about the Supreme Court, which is allegedly conservative 5-4 now? I don't trust it. And so you just sit there and go, we're powerless. Well, when you're powerless, you really aren't, right? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have prayer. Prayer is the most powerful thing in our possession, but it's the thing that we utilize the least. So we'll pray a couple more times before the show ends today, but I just want to finish playing this clip from Michael Ferris, the head of Alliance Defending Freedom, walking us through H.R. 5, the Equality Act.
As well. And then parental rights would be harmed in many ways, parents not being able to give their children the kind of counseling they'd want to give. And so that's the kind of the down in a quick nutshell of the seven main areas of difficulty for the Equality Act. The H.R. 1 is...
One more time, just name them right now, all seven.
That's
one,
Pastor
two, three,
Jim
four,
Garlow. It's also on
Title
the call.
IX, that's girls' sports, women's rights, sanctity of life, religious freedom, children in need, free speech, and parental rights.
Yeah, no problems there,
those
right?
Those are the main areas of concern.
All in the crosshairs.
There's so much in it.
H.R. 5, the Equality
that's
Act.
That's just a really quick overview. The H.R. 1 is another Democratic dream piece of legislation. And the shortest way to encapsulate it is all the difficult and dangerous and, in my opinion, illegal things that were done in the last election of changing the rules established by the state legislature in terms of absentee, particularly for mail-in ballots and absentee ballots, and the boxes they put out in parking lots all over, and then they didn't count the mail-in ballots according to the normal rules of verifying the signatures. All of those kinds of things that were done would be put into permanent federal law, which would attempt to override all state law on elections. So this is an effort to federalize and micromanage the election process so that it is very, very difficult to guarantee election integrity.
Okay, so I'm going to stop it there because I'm going to walk you through this. I've got a couple of resources from the Heritage Foundation to talk about these things. Since he was talking about H.R. 1, the For the People Act, okay, let me walk you through this. H.R. 1 would federalize and micromanage the election process administered by the states, imposing unnecessary, unwise, and unconstitutional mandates on the states and reversing the decentralization of the American election process, which is essential to the protection of our liberty and freedom. Okay? So, again, this is the federal takeover of the federal side of the ballot, meaning presidency, U.S. Senate, and U.S. House of Representatives, okay? Doesn't touch state positions. It does federal positions. It federalizes it, which is patently unconstitutional, okay? So that's what H.R. 1 is. Okay, that's in a nutshell. Now, here's some details, okay? Seize the authority of states to regulate voter registration and the voting process by forcing states to implement early voting, automatic voter registration, same-day registration, online voter registration, and no-fault absentee balloting. These are all some of the, these are, this is like a list of all the problems from the last election, which they are now wanting to take federal control of. Another point, make it easier to commit fraud and promote chaos at the polls through same-day registration. Okay. Hurt voter turnout through 15 days of mandated early voting by diffusing the intensity of get-out-the-vote efforts. It would raise the cost of campaigns. Voters who vote early don't have the same information as those who vote on election day, missing late-breaking developments that could affect their choices. They want early voting, okay? Democrats vote early, Republicans vote day of. Another point, degrade the accuracy of registration lists by requiring states to automatically register all individuals, as opposed to citizens, minor issue, from state and federal databases such as the State Department of Motor Vehicles, Corrections and Welfare Offices, and federal agencies such as Social Security Administration, okay? This would register large numbers of ineligible voters, including illegal aliens, and cause multiple or duplicate registrations of the same individuals and put federal agencies in charge. Great idea. Constitute a recipe for massive voter registration fraud by hackers and cyber criminals through online voter registration that's not tied to an existing state record such as a driver's license. Here's another point. Requires states to count ballots cast by voters outside of their assigned precincts, overriding the precinct system. What? You can go vote anywhere? Yeah, no problem with fraud there. So you can run around the state, literally, and vote ahead of people. Jump in line. If you know who doesn't vote, but maybe they're registered. There's all kinds. This is why we don't like all this type of voting that was put in place, not by legislatures, which is the constitutional way, but by governors and boards of election in various states. This federalizes all that stuff. Mandate no-fault absentee ballots, which are the tool of choice for vote thieves. It would ban witness signatures or notarization requirements for absentee ballots. Force states to accept absentee ballots received up to 10 days after election day, as long as they're postmarked by election day. No problems there. Require states to allow vote trafficking or vote harvesting so they can go out and collect votes from people. Prevent election officials from checking the eligibility and qualifications of voters and remove ineligible voters. Ban state voter ID laws, like the one we just have fought for here in North Carolina. Violate the First Amendment with respect to a vast range of legal activity. Voter intimidation or coercion that prevents someone from registering or voting is already a federal crime. It would add a provision criminalizing hindering, interfering, or preventing anyone from registering or voting, which is so vague and so broad that it could prevent providing any information to election officials about the ineligibility of an individual. So you can't actually point out what's wrong. Expand regulation and government censorship of campaigns and political activity and speech. Reduce the number of federal election commission members from 6 to 5, allowing the political party with 3 commission seats to control everything. Wonder why they want to do that. prohibit state election officials from participating in federal elections, require states to restore the ability of felons to vote, transfer the right to draw congressional districts from state legislatures to independent commissions. What? This is crazy. Authorize the Internal Revenue Service to engage in partisan activity. Oh, let's continue to weaponize the IRS. It would permit the IRS to investigate and consider the political and policy positions of nonprofit organizations before granting tax-exempt status. By the way, it would also allow, it would force 501c4s. So if you're a 501c3, like this radio ministry, contributions are totally tax-deductible, like you're giving money to a church. But a 501c4, which has more electioneering ability, you can't look up who their donors are. Like FRC Action. Alliance Defending Freedom Action, all these action groups, local and state and federal, Christian action groups, all of a sudden, this HR1 would force them to reveal their donors. Well, what's the price? Steve, isn't that transparency? No, that's doxing. Now we're going to think about what's happened to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, any of these folks, Glenn Beck. When all of a sudden you find out what businesses are supporting them, then you go after those businesses trying to train wreck their revenue. Well, now that's what you're going to do. That's what they'll do, the lefts, the progressives, to Christian organizations that have 501c4s, action groups that get out and get directly involved, more directly involved in electioneering. And they now they're going to know who the donors are. So a lot of those donors probably are business owners. Well, let's target the business owners. Let's dox them. If you're not young enough to know what that means, to dox somebody means to put out their private information publicly. Hey, here's where Steve Noble lives. Here's his phone number. Here's his home address. That's doxing. And now they're going to make it by force of law. You have to reveal your donors to a 501c4. It's a nightmare. Establish a commission to protect democratic institutions that would threaten the independence of the judiciary. HR1 defines democratic institutions as those that are, quote, essential to ensuring an independent judiciary, free and fair elections, and the rule of law. The commission would be given the authority to compel judges to testify and justify their legal decisions, threatening their independent judgment and subjecting them to political pressure and harassment. HR1, literally the federal takeover of all federal elections. And let me clarify that. That wouldn't be the federal takeover. It would be the democratic progressive takeover of all federal elections. Because then everything that they're doing here favors the Democrat Party. What they're trying to do is ensure that they have power and control in perpetuity, which means if you're a conservative, you're out. You're just a plebeian living in a progressive, liberal, democratic state. And HR1 is their way to get there. We'll talk about the Equality Act when we come back after this.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame.
That day's coming.
Everybody won't
it's
be
coming.
Treated all the same.
Johnny Cash knew it. That's because he knew the word. So the question is, do you, do I, do we know the word? What is your house built on? If it's built on the soil of the United States of America, you are a fool. And I say that because I love the Lord and I love you. Do not sink your house foundation, your life down on the United States of America. Love her, fight for her, pray for her. Absolutely. That's what I do. But put my hope and my trust in her? No. Uh-uh. Nothing from the seed of mankind without God is worth a hill of beans. And so I love this country. I care about this country. I especially worry about her with respect to my children and their children. I'll be a grandfather in June. So I got another generation to be concerned about. But right now, friend, we have zero power in D.C. in the U.S. Senate when it comes to things like HR1 and HR5. Zero power. So the question is, when you have nothing, what do you do? Who do you turn to? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No, you pray. We pray. That is your only power right now when it comes to HR1 and HR5 and what's going on in D.C. Because Republicans, conservatives, whatever, they don't have the power in D.C. right now. And the only thing stopping the U.S. Senate from enacting these things is the filibuster, which is unlimited debate, which you can use to stop a bill from getting to the floor. That was a rule put in place many years ago in order to give the minority in the Senate at least some power to not be trampled over. But if the Democrats get rid of it, which they just need a simple majority. So if they can get Joe Manchin to change his mind, because Joe Manchin from West Virginia, the Democrat, said he's not going to get rid of the filibuster. But if they can get him to do it, and you know they're working on it, well, then now it's a 50-50 vote. Kristen Sinema will probably fold, another Democrat. She's from Arizona. She'll probably fold. Then it's a 50-50 tie. Then in steps Kamala Harris, the vice president, who also serves as the president of the Senate. And the only time she gets to vote is when there's a tie. So then, boom, they get rid of the filibuster, 51-50. And then H.R. 1, H.R. 5, which are renamed because they moved from the House to the Senate. And they pass those. 50-50 tie. Hey, Kamala. Hey. Hey, can you come back for a minute? Yeah, okay, great. Can you? Oh, yeah, great. 51-50. Boom. Dear Heavenly Father, pray with me, everybody, okay? Let's put some feet to our faith, and we say we should pray. Let's pray. Father, we just cry out for our nation. I'm heartbroken about what I see in this country, Lord, and I've been heartbroken for a while. Yet here we are. We still show up. We still talk about it. We care. I care anyway, because I have 340 million neighbors who are affected by these laws, and not to mention children, our children, and their children, and their children, generations that haven't even been born yet, affected by these laws, Lord. And we just see it slipping away as our nation becomes increasingly more secular, turns its back more stridently on you and your word and your truth. Even rationality and the natural law we're rejecting. And so, Lord, I just cry out for our nation. I cry out for your intervention in the Senate and in the heart of and mind of Joe Manchin and even Kristen Sinema. Lord, that they would stand their ground and protect something, the filibuster, that helps the minority not be trampled by the majority. And Lord, just strengthen them for this fight, that they would understand that if they do that, one day the roles will be reversed and the Republicans can take advantage of it and trounce the Democrats. But Lord, maybe if these things get passed, H.R. 1 and H.R. 5, they don't have to worry about Republicans because they can control the elections. And it's just human depravity on an institutional level, on a governmental level, Lord. And we know that you put up and take down leaders, that there's not a nation that gets anywhere, only by your providence. And maybe this is the judgment we deserved after 62 million dead babies and all the other things we've done in our past as a nation. I don't know, Lord, but I do know that we care. And I know my friends on the air and on Facebook Live and YouTube care. So we pray, because you're our only hope in all of these things. So we pray that you'll intervene, and we just cry out for your mercy and your compassion and your grace and your patience once again, which we know I have no right to it, but we're asking boldly, Lord, for the sake of ourselves, our families, and our neighbors, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. H.R. 5, here's the other one, so-called Equality Act, okay? I'm just going to fly through some of this stuff, just so you understand the weight of what you need to pray about. The Equality Act, okay, makes mainstream beliefs about marriage as well as basic biological facts about sex differences punishable under the law. Every person should be treated with dignity and respect. We all agree on that. But the Equality Act makes discrimination the law of the land by forcing Americans to conform to government-mandated beliefs under the threat of life-ruining financial and criminal penalties. The 1964 Civil Rights Act outlawed state-sanctioned discrimination that caused systematic economic and material harm to Black Americans. The Equality Act, however, is different. It forces every American to agree with controversial government-imposed ideology on sexuality or be treated as an outlaw. The Equality Act demolishes existing civil rights and constitutional freedoms, meaning if you don't agree that sex now includes and don't discriminate based on sexual preference, hetero, homo, bisexual, or sexual identity, trans man, trans woman, gender fluid, gender queer, all that stuff. And if you cannot make any decisions based on your Christian principles and your belief in God's standard about those people with those situations in your school, in your church, in your Christian-run business, whatever, you can't do that. It would be like, I said this on Facebook Live during the break, it would be like me hiring a new intern and in walks a young Black man who's qualified, and I say, oh, sorry, I can't hire you. Really? Why is that, Mr. Noble? Well, you know, you're Black. Well, yeah, the full force of the federal government should fall on me, let alone the judgment of God. But now we're going to add all this other stuff to it. The Equality Act guts the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and threatens constitutional freedoms by eliminating conscience protections from the Civil Rights Act. Conscience protections. If enacted, H.R. 5 would force employers, medical professionals, educators, and religious organizations to allow men into women's shelters, pay for or perform sex change operations, and engage in speech that violates their consciences. Faith-based adoption and foster care agencies would be forced to violate their belief that every child deserves a mother and a father, meaning you can't not go through the adoption with this child to this gay couple or the couple, the transgendered couple, whatever. You can't because you think and you're mixed up thinking that a child deserves a mom and a dad. So you're not going to go through with the adoption to the gay couple? Is that what you're telling me? Yeah, yeah, we're not going to do that. Okay, that's a violation of the Equality Act, and you're violating the law, and the federal government's going to come down on you. See the problem there? By expanding the definition of public accommodations under Title II of the Civil Rights Act, this is all what happens with the Equality Act, to include any establishment that provides a good, a service, or a program, including a store, a shopping center, online retailer, or service provider, salon, bank, gas station, food bank, service or care center, shelter, travel agency, or funeral parlor, or establishment that provides health care, accounting, or legal services. Boy, that's a big list. Many more individuals and establishments would, in fact, become liable to discrimination claims, including doctors who do not want to perform abortions. Whoa. H.R. 5 endangers unborn children. The Equality Act opens the door to taxpayer funding for elective abortions, which the vast majority of Americans oppose, regardless of political affiliation. The bill does not contain any conscience protections for those with moral or religious objections to paying for or performing abortions. It also takes away judicial relief by blocking claims based on the RFRA, Freedom from Religion Act. Okay, the Equality Act expands the term sex to go far beyond the state of being male or female. It includes pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions. See the problem there? Both the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and the Third Circuit Court have interpreted related medical conditions to include abortion. So you can't refuse to do an abortion if you're a doctor, OBGYN, whatever. This expanded definition of sex applies to public accommodations, which under the Equality Act includes providers of health care. Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, looks to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, which addresses non-discrimination and federally assisted programs, to interpret that constitutes discrimination. If the Equality Act were to pass, Section 1557 non-discrimination regulations could be used against providers who refuse to perform abortions or against hospitals that receive federal funding and do not provide abortions. That's why it helps the abortion cabal. Here's another one. The Equality Act changes to Title VI of the Civil Rights Act do not uphold Title IX of the 1972 Education Amendments. Ferris was talking about that earlier in the clip. Gender identity policies will require biological males to be permitted to participate in female-only activities. In sports, the physical bodies of biological males put them at an obvious unfair advantage, right? But with the Equality Act, sorry. Guys, you're struggling with gender dysphoria, so on and so forth. You want to go compete against the girls? Wipe the floor with them, so to speak? You can, and you cannot, if this passes, anybody out there, any school, sports program, you can't deny them. That also includes bathrooms, locker rooms, all that place, all that stuff, okay? All single-sex spaces will be open to both sexes under the Equality Act. By adding sexual orientation and gender identity rules to the Civil Rights Act on desegregation of public education, now they're going to go after Christian schools. On and on and on it goes. Okay? H.R. 1, H.R. 5 will fundamentally reshape the future of this country, destroy religious freedom almost across the board, and provide the Democrats, the progressives, the liberals with the ability to rule federal elections. President, U.S. Senate, and U.S. House of Representatives. We are powerless to do anything except to pray. So my question for you is, if you care, if you lament, will you pray? And pray every day, because this stuff is moving in the Senate. Pray for Joe Manchin, pray for the filibuster to stand, and pray for these two bills to fall. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.